Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a loaded Friday. Terry Bradshaw is going to stop by today. Blazing 5 live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio right here at FS1. 1 hour from now, Blazing 5 picks. Like them a lot. It is great to have you in on a Friday. Terry Bradshaw, Doug Flutie stops by today. Can't wait for that. That's in 30 minutes. Joy Taylor's joining me. How are you, Joy? Debate last night at all?
No debate. I'm grateful for that. I was working, so I enjoyed watching the Thursday night football game.
So did I. Actually, it's a weaker division, but that's life. We got a lot of, some divisions are great.
It was a scrappy, fun game, though.
It was. Here's what's interesting. So Carson Wentz, once again, pulled out the game. You know I love Carson Wentz. And he pulled out the game, and this is all I hear. Well, he wasn't good until the end. That's actually how Tom Brady won 3 of his Super Bowls, you know, being good at the end stuff. Russell Wilson a couple weeks ago played poorly. He was good on one drive of the game, the very last drive. And he beat Minnesota, and he was dubbed amazing. And I love Russell Wilson. Unbelievable. Carson Wentz struggles somewhat early with far less talent, does the same last night in the fourth quarter. He didn't play. He just doesn't play well until the end. The last drive by the Eagles totally encapsulates what the franchise in Philly is and what Wentz is. Let's look at it. First of all, punt return. DeSean Jackson gets hurt. Well, of course DeSean Jackson gets hurt. He's a Philadelphia Eagle wide receiver. So Carson Wentz will not have his most skilled wide receiver for the final drive. All right, he's gone. Later in the drive, Carson Wentz hits Richard Rodgers 2 times. Oh, the great Richard Rodgers, a third string tight end, cut by Washington in September. That's his go-to guy. Yeah, this is go-to guy. This encapsulates what they are. Then, after this, they get down first and goal, and one of his teammates gets caught face masking, hurting Carson Wentz, and now he's got a first and goal at the 18-yard line. Like the percentage to score there, almost none, except he throws a perfect ball to a 5'6 running back, Boston Scott. And you're telling me he's not amazing? Why is every other quarterback in the league a hero when they win a game late? The leading three receivers last night for Philadelphia are Richard Rodgers, cut by Washington in September, Travis Fulgham, released by the Lions last year. Not a good team. The Lions are like, you're not good enough for us. 6th-round pick from Old Dominion. John Hightower, a rookie, a 5th-round rookie from Boise State. And Boston Scott, who was signed off the Saints practice squad 2 years ago. Now Carson Wentz is not perfect. Holds on to the ball too long, trying to make the big play. And he does throw a lot of jump balls. He throws the ball up for grabs sometimes. A lot of them are caught. But it's amazing. I have watched this kid 4 to 5 to 6 times in the last 10 Eagle games carry a MASH unit. But I always hear that, well, he's not good until the end of the game. He holds the ball too long. It's interesting. Greg Cosell, 41 years, NFL Films, compared him to a former NFL player on our show.
Wentz is an interesting player, and I like Carson Wentz, as I know you do. But Carson Wentz, even at his best, he's a certain kind of quarterback. He's not a true precision player. He's a playmaker-type quarterback who can make big plays. He will always miss a few. That's the way he plays. I'm not going to compare him to Brett Favre, who's a Hall of Famer, but stylistically, that's what Carson Wentz really is. He's a big play-type quarterback.
We loved Brett Favre. We loved Brett Favre. We brag about what Josh Allen could be as a big play. We loved Bradshaw. We love Big Ben. None are precision players. Even Patrick Mahomes is a big play quarterback. We love all of them. except Wentz, who is playing with guys from Old Dominion. He's not perfect, but he's a playmaker, and you've made up your mind. I see this with people in politics. You just make up your mind, and you're not budging. You did this with Andrew Luck, and you've done it with Carson Wentz. Just once, I'd like to see him win a game late, and people go, like Russell Wilson, that's amazing. But like politics, we've all made up our mind, right? Here's Carson after.
The same thing that I echo every game when we're down. Hey, just keep believing. Just one play at a time, and the big play is going to hit. It's going to happen, and John had the big one on that first drive, and obviously Boston the second drive. And guys, just keep believing and keep rallying together, and that's what it's going to take to win a lot of these ball games.
So let's talk about a game this weekend that has the potential to completely change our minds about a team. Now, most of us, we either like teams or don't. And then there's the Raiders. I mean, let's be honest about the Raiders. They've had one winning season in 18 years. Outside of people who love the Raiders, they've been a joke for 18 years. They had one year where Derek Carr won 9 last possession games. They got to the playoffs, he got hurt, and they got rolled. They have been a joke for 18 years. They had the worst stadium deal. They had an old owner that was out of touch. They drafted poorly. I mean, around NFL circles, I knew people like reporters, respected reporters, didn't want to go public with it, but they would tell me, like, I don't even cover the Raiders. Like, they just don't know what they're doing. And they didn't say that about Detroit or Cincinnati or Cleveland. They would say, like, the Raiders are not even, they don't even count as an NFL team. They were a mess. We haven't taken seriously for 18 years. But this weekend and this year, they beat Breeze and the Saints already. They beat Mahomes and the Chiefs already. If they beat Brady and the Bucks already, we're going to have to take them seriously. They got a cool new stadium, an iconic coach, a ton of offensive weapons, and a GM that appears, former TV guy, to know what he's doing. It really comes down to this with the Raiders. Do you like Derek Carr? I do, always have. Pro Football Focus came out yesterday. It rated every single NFL quarterback. All things, all stats, all plays. He was 12th. What have I said on this show? Joy is my witness. Derek Carr, to me, is the 12th best quarterback in the NFL. I do these lists from time to time, and that's what he is. For the record, I went and looked it up this morning. Derek Carr, since the start of last season, that's with John Gruden, 32 touchdowns, 9 picks, 71% completion percentage, and 105 quarterback rating. I'm in. I don't think he's Rodgers or Russell. I don't think he's Mahomes or Lamar. I don't think he's quite Big Ben. But he's a top 12 quarterback. And we're going to have to, for the first time in 18 years, take the goofy Raiders. I grew up. You had to take the Raiders seriously. They were a top 3 NFL franchise. They actually remind me a little of the Warriors. When I was a kid growing up, the Warriors were always great. And then they went into a 20-25-year abyss. Now they're a great franchise. New owner, new people running it. The Raiders, if they win this weekend, will have beaten Breeze and Peyton, Andy Reid and Mahomes, Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, and here's John Gruden. Well, he was going to be here, but he's busy preparing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Raider Nation gets very feisty because Raider Nation believes everybody's out to bury them, sort of like Cleveland Brown Nation. Everybody's a nation. The media is not picking on anybody. Either you're competent or you're not. And there's been about 7 teams that haven't been very competent for the last 20 years. The Raiders are one, and I think there's a chance. Remember, Raiders off a bye, Buccaneers just came off a huge win over Green Bay. Natural letdown. Keep your eye on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So, I do Blazing 5 every week. Those are individual picks. Not having a great year, that's top of the hour. But what I take more pride in, actually, is making my preseason predictions. I make them in, like, June, July, and then I get a couple times to tweak them after camp. We didn't have training camp. We didn't have it. So here are my official predictions, and where are we right now? So let's start with the AFC. I predicted the Bills, Ravens, Colts, Chiefs would win their division. I predicted wild card, the Browns, Titans, and Steelers would be wild card teams. So right now, all of those are in play, oh, I'm 7-for-7. Now, it should be noted, the Titans absolutely look better than the Colts. I'm probably going to be wrong, but I still think the Colts can make the playoffs. And the Steelers, this is still in play, do look like the best team in that division. But so far, I'm 7-for-7, on playoff teams. Now, let's go to the NFC. It's a little dicier. I had the Eagles, the Vikings. Yeah, it was a whiff there. That's my big whiff. Eagles, Vikings, Saints, 49ers winning their division. Then the Packers, Tampa Bay, and the Seahawks being wild card teams. So where are we right now? All right, well, Seahawks, Bucks, Eagles, Packers, I'm good. Obviously, now the Bears and Rams play this weekend. One of them's going to be a fraud after the weekend. A little bit. I will say this. This is a big game for the Rams because I think Chicago defensively and coaching, Rams is a big weekend. Rams, Monday Night Football, get Chicago at home. If they don't win this game, you can kind of bail on them. They can't beat the good teams. So I also had right now, I'm okay. Arizona, Rams, Bears would be teams I did not predict. So there we are. I will say this, though. Now, I whiffed totally on the Vikings. Total, utter whiff. In fact, they're selling off parts now and getting draft picks. So I just whiffed. The other two that I clearly didn't feel as good about, Pittsburgh and Chicago. Chicago's next three are the Rams, the Saints, and the Titans. I think they're going to go 0-for-3. That's my gut feeling. So I don't think I'm wrong on the Bears. I think the truth will come out about the Bears is they really don't have enough juice offensively to keep winning the way they're winning. Now, let's get to the Steelers. Well, you really didn't like the Steelers. Well, let's just say this. My Steeler predictions were based on two things. Number one, Lamar, Jackson, and Baltimore appeared to be getting better, and Cleveland was going to be way better. They had a good draft and good free agency. So I thought the division was going to be tougher. Also, Big Ben off an injury. I was very much a cynic on that. He's played very well. Also, I had no idea that Chase Claypool would be this good. He's been a shocking talent. But I will say this. Be very careful about the Steelers. Now, the Steelers' wins this year are against the Giants, Denver, Texans, Eagles, Browns. That's a bunch of nonsense, mostly. The next 2 weeks, at Tennessee and at Baltimore. Now, I do think they have a real good shot to win both those games. But I will acknowledge here, Pittsburgh and the Bears, I think I'll be proven right on the Bears and probably proven wrong on the Steelers. I was absolutely, utterly wrong on the Minnesota Vikings. I can totally take that. But our predictions were not that far off. Colts are not quite as good as I thought, but they're fine. And Tennessee's better than I thought. We'll find out this weekend when they play Pittsburgh. So there we are. I feel pretty good about where we're at. What's your biggest shock this year so far?
Oh, I missed on the Vikings, too. It's not that I thought the Packers were going to be bad. I just thought that everything that was going on in the offseason was going to bring them down a little bit. And because I loved the Packers last year. But, yeah, the Vikings have been
awful.
A disaster.
And for the record, what I always love about NFL predictions, if I would have said before the season started, Vikings will be out of it by week 6, you'd get nothing but hate mail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Even though we know every year there is at least one, usually two teams that were playoff teams that implode. And we also know there's a bad team that usually shocks us. Remember, San Francisco before last season was a mess.
Yep.
And I called San Francisco last year. I said, they'll double their win total. And people were like, whoa, Garoppolo's no good. They end up leading the Kansas City Chiefs in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl for a while.
Yeah, I also did not predict the Texans falling apart the way that they did as
Who's
well.
Who's that?
The Texans. I didn't think they were going to fall apart that
quickly. Yeah, that's it. Brutal schedule, injuries, Bill O'Brien, there you go.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Cam Newton, I did not pick this game this week. So San Francisco's an underdog to New England by a couple of points. I would have taken San Francisco. I think it's a very important week for Cam Newton. In Carolina, I used to call Cam Newton roller coaster Cam. He plunges, he rises, he plunges, he rises. He was very inconsistent. Roller coaster Cam. Getting a little bit of this now in New England. So week one, he runs mostly. Week two, he's great. Week three, 73 passer rating. Week four, didn't play. Week five, bye. Week six, bad. If New England loses to the 49ers, Vegas thinks they're going to win. But if they lose, they're 2-4. And Cam starts to feel a little bit like renter Cam. Okay? Like 1 year, draft somebody, figure it out. Because this division is better. Buffalo's better. Miami's better than they have been in recent years. And the Seattle game does appear to be a little fool's gold. We now know Seattle's defense. It may get better, but it's bad now. Dak threw for 472 yards. Matt Ryan threw for 450 yards. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 315 yards. And Kirk Cousins lit it up for a 93 quarterback rating. That was Cam's big game. I need another Cam good performance. And San Francisco's defense, it's not what it was last year, but statistically, it's top five. So Cam Newton knows it. Cam Newton acknowledges it. Cam Newton admits it. He's not playing well right now.
Just haven't been good. And I haven't matched enough good plays together for my liking. And that's what it comes down to. And I know what I'm capable of. And my standard is extremely high, and I haven't been meeting it, my personal standard. So that's how I feel.
Yep. He's got to put another one together. Very good against Seattle, and then a bunch of running. And remember, this is not a gifted offensive team. It's probably the slowest team. So if he is limited throwing the football, that will hurt his rushing numbers. And then he's a 31, 32-year-old quarterback with an injury history that's kind of inconsistent, and he feels more like the Carolina Cam than the Cam we saw against the Seahawks, which was really promising.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Terry Bradshaw, the Hall of Famer here, four Super Bowl rings.
Did you notice?
What's that?
I got tired of coming in here in T-shirts, and I asked Vicky Trilling, I said, would you lay out a nice suit minus the tie? I want to go and show some respect this morning.
Well, that's nice of you. Yeah. Speaking of respect.
Plus, I'm giving away another $1 million.
Yeah. This weekend.
You know what? I've yet to figure out how I give away $1 million.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen if someone picks six games. You know, someone asked me the other day, well, I said, well, you get the app, you call it in, and it's real easy to just pick six games. And then they said, well, you got to have the spread. And I went, I don't think it's the spread. Is it? I don't even know.
No, you correctly predict six games.
You
got to
predict the score.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Let me tell you something. It's not easy.
No. Hey, I pick games every week. I'm picking college and pro games. And I don't think I've ever gotten one score right.
Do you know Vegas, I usually average about 54% to 56% in my Blazing Five picks. Professional handicappers try to hit 56.5.
Really?
Anybody tells you they hit 70%, they're just on bourbon or they're making crap up. Nobody hits that.
Bradshaw bourbon.
By the way, your Steelers, they're 5-0 for the first time since your 1978 team.
How about that?
Okay, so in 1978, I was 14 years old. This is when I was getting into the NFL. I remember that team. I can name every player on that team. Pittsburgh, and you and Ben may have had your issues, but I said the other day, this team is a little like yours. Big, strong, stud quarterback, great front seven, and playmakers at wide receiver.
Right.
And I can't name all the guys in the secondary.
Right.
This is a little throwback Steelers team, right?
Donnie Shale, Mike Wagner.
Yeah,
strong safety, weak safety.
One guy wore a cowboy hat.
That's Mel Blount, right corner, Hall of Fame.
There we go.
Yeah. But Donnie Shale just went in at strong safety in the Hall of Fame.
This Steeler team, it's a little like yours. Throw the ball down the field.
Right.
Big play wide receiver.
Right.
Is it a Super Bowl team to you when you look at it?
This Steeler team? Yeah. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the way they're playing and playing very consistently. Last week on the Fox pregame show, I laughed at Cleveland. They're talking, you know, they're going to go in there. It's the new Cleveland Brown. I said, they're going to get that butt whooped. I mean, Ben and I both are 12-0 against Cleveland at home. He is now 13-0. And I'm not worried about Cleveland. We don't lose at Cleveland, not with Ben playing. But yes, I think they're playing better than Baltimore. I don't know of another AFC team. I'll tell you, right now, Tennessee, who they are playing this week, and who obviously I picked to beat Tennessee, two undefeateds. There's three left.
They're missing their left tackle, though. So Tennessee's left tackle's out. That's not good against the Steelers.
Well, that's not my problem. I feel bad for that, but they go 6-0. They're just building momentum, and Ben's playing lights out. Oh, and by the way, while I'm talking about Ben, I don't think you know this, either one of you. I did an interview with Ben Roethlisberger, and it was the best interview I've ever done because of the friction that's been between the two of us, self-imposed or whatever. And out of that interview, him being relaxed, jovial, fun to be with, calling me a superstar and having fun with it. And we came out of that interview and I said, wow, it felt so good because I was nervous doing the interview because we haven't gotten along because of off the field stuff. And I was very critical of him, not his playing, just off the field stuff. And so this interview we did 2 weeks ago, I feel like his defense, everything's been mended. I think it's good, and I look forward to going to Pittsburgh now and being able to go up to Ben and say, hey, how you doing? He has my number. I had a writer there in Pittsburgh give him my number, so if he ever wanted to call or ever wanted to talk, hopefully he will one of these days. But it's, I think, good. It's good for him. It's good for me. It's good for the city. It's good for the Steelers.
And I think he feels supported now. There was the Le'Veon Bell AB stuff. The GM came out and said, it's your team.
Right.
And I think Ben is, and a lot of this is because of your history, Ben needs to feel supported. So when you go to Pittsburgh and they got all these rings and all these trophies and the star was the quarterback and you come in and, you know, you don't live up to it, you can't beat the Patriots and Peyton Manning beat you. I think a lot of this is, it's the pressure. By the way, this is what you got to face in Dallas with Troy Aikman. It's what you're going to have to face in New England with Tom Brady or in Indianapolis with Peyton Manning. So I think some of that tension is Ben hearing it all the time. Well, Bradshaw won Super Bowls. Whether you want to, you know, it's a reality of life. You replace Howard Stern.
Sure.
You're going to hear about Howard Stern.
Right.
That's just the way it is. So I think he feels supported now.
He does not have to ever look over his shoulder at me. He has had to deal with various players interchangeable, okay?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Different the era. Same team that won the Super Bowl when you were 13 is the same one that won the Super Bowl when you were 19.
That's why I remember all the players.
Exactly. And so that's before player movement. Now you get new players in. You have Le'Veon Bell gone. You have Antonio Brown gone. Your tight end gone. Players come in and want more money gone. You can't pay them all.
Right.
And the Steelers have done a great job of drafting players. But he doesn't need to look over his shoulder at me because if you ask me right now, I mean, I can't warm him up statistically. It's not even a contest.
Right.
You know, but we won 4 Super Bowls and – you know, I've never had anybody say, hey, Terry, how many yards you throw for? Well, I'm glad I can't remember because it's pretty embarrassing. You know?
Well, it was a different era. It was a different time.
Yeah, certainly was. And you can't say it's a different era. You just accept it and you move on, and that's life.
So I've said this for years. Aaron Rodgers is great. I think I have no questions about that.
Right.
Don't love his body language all the time.
Right.
Sometimes I feel like if he has a bad start, he kind of –
Leaves.
And I. By the way, if he's ever trailed in the football game in his career, he's got a losing record.
Ooh, that's good.
That's not great. Meaning he's a little bit more of a front runner when it gets a little uncomfortable. And I felt last week after that second pick,
you're spot on.
He kind of shut it down.
Shut her down.
So you see it too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sat right there, watched it. The team was playing bad. He was playing when he missed that cover two, when he missed the tight end down the, he never misses that. And why did he miss it? Thought he was going to get hit. And he rushed the pass. Now he's not going to admit that. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't either, but no, I would. I would. That's the difference. But he did not play well. He didn't have time. They couldn't get open. And I said this on the air, no one would have beaten Tampa Bay last Sunday. If that was the Super Bowl, is my beloved Steelers couldn't. Nobody would have beaten Tampa Bay last Sunday. It wasn't because Tom Brady threw for 400 yards, because when he does, they normally don't win.
That's right.
It was because they were efficient offensively, but their defense. Man, if you ever thought, well, defense is finally back in the NFL. I never seen a year like this with the COVID-19 where defense was lagging behind offense. If you noticed that scoring was up first 4 weeks, we're all sitting here going, scoring's historical.
Right.
Historical. But did you look at last week? Now the scoring is coming down, down, down. And defense for the good teams going up, up, up. Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
Tennessee a little
easily,
better.
Tampa Bay. And I'll tell you who's a scary team. And I hate to see that Fitzpatrick. I called him Fitzgerald last night. But the quarterback down in Miami, you know what? That's a scrappy bunch, man. Yeah. That Miami Dolphin bunch?
Yeah.
Dang, scrappy.
You know, it is interesting. So you didn't have to – I remember your backup was Terry Hanratty.
Right.
You didn't have to worry about that. I think Fitzpatrick was kind of bothered about the Tua time thing. And my takeaway is, Terry, in 2020, if they're spending all these money on first-round quarterbacks, you got to know. I mean, Alex Smith knew. Patrick's getting it. We moved up in the draft to get him.
Right.
So I look at Miami, and I think you're right. I think they're good. Fitzpatrick was bummed out. But don't you kind of have to know in 2020?
Well, listen, Jimmy Johnson, dear friend of mine, I'm one of his best friends, and we talk almost daily. And he and I both – and Jimmy said this. He said, don't you know the Miami coaching staff is in practice and in meetings, and they're seeing this kid, and they're going, whoa. It's kind of like Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty.
I remember that.
Hey, he's doing good, pretty good out there. Hey, doing pretty good out there. And I think Tua was one of those, whoa, man, this kid has really picked this up. He's really doing well. And Fitzpatrick, God bless him.
He is what he is.
He said it broke his heart. I never heard of an athlete saying it broke his heart to lose his starting job. But to me, that hurt. I felt bad for him.
Of course.
He has played Pro Bowl level quarterbacking, but he also throws, he throws untimely picks, and it's almost it's comical to some extent, because it's like, all right, they're 3-3, it's about time for him to have a blow up.
Right, we know that is part
exactly
of his
that's
legacy.
His MO, and God bless him. But I'm excited for Tua. When he was operated on down in Houston, I called him and talked to him while he was in the hospital room. And when I hung up the phone, I went, wow, what an impressive young man.
Yeah.
Very impressive. So I'm sad for Fitzpatrick, but I'm also very, very excited. Listen, he's sitting over there, and he'll be a good backup. He's been one his whole career.
Well, you can make an argument.
And he'll be a great mentor. And if they need him, he's very comfortable coming off the bench.
Yeah. So I like Carson Wentz. He's a playmaker. And I like.
Oh, he drives me nuts.
So you're one of these haters.
I'm not a hate. I don't hate anybody. What are you talking about?
But you're very critical.
I'm very critical. I'm
Carson
only.
Carson Wentz?
When? On Wentz? No, I'm not. When? When was
do
I?
Do you like him?
Yes, I do. But he drives. What's wrong with. I love my kids and they drive me nuts. Do you love your children?
Absolutely.
But do they drive you nuts?
Okay.
Absolutely. Sometimes.
So what did he do last night?
That throwing across the field.
That was bad.
Bad? I mean,
terrible.
When the cameras hit the wide receiver, there were three defensive backs and one receiver. 30 yards of Troy Aikman. He's like, holy cow, you don't do that. And when I try to demonstrate, when you're outside the pocket, you can see. You don't throw picks outside the pocket because you can see everything.
No, that's a good point.
In the pocket, you got bodies everywhere. You will make mistakes. But, and I also question the play calling. Quarterback draws down to the 2-yard line. I'm like, whoa, that's gap defenses down there. It's just, I didn't like that at all. And Carson just makes, he just makes some throws. You just go, don't do that. Don't do that. Drives me nuts.
So when you look, like a Patrick Mahomes, obviously a great talent.
Right.
Go back to the 70s, 80s. He's lucky. So he's lucky. He got a really good offensive coach and good players.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work that way. Often you go to your first couple teams in Pittsburgh, no day at the beach, right? It became great.
Right.
Is there anybody, because with Mahomes, it's almost like, oh boy, I've never seen that before. Was there anybody, now I remember Burt Jones in your era.
Oh, there you go.
So it's funny because when I watch Mahomes, I see a little of Burt Jones, but Burt didn't get all the, he got Lydell Mitchell, but.
Roger Carr.
Okay, when you saw Mahomes for the first time, did he? What was his comp? Did he?
When I saw him in college, I didn't think anything of him because that's that offense and that's Texas Tech.
They score a million points and
exactly.
lose.
Exactly, and Leach is off at Washington State. So what do you think about that quarterback at Washington State who threw for 5,000 yards? Well, it's that offense, and that's right. Leach. That's his offense. So I didn't. Normally, those spread offense quarterbacks, when they come out, you don't hear from them anymore.
It's
a
for
big
years.
Adjustment to the NFL. But not this kid. So this kid, they knew something about this kid that the rest of us that are watching television didn't know. They researched him, and they knew that, hey, this kid maybe not was going to be what he is, but they knew he wouldn't be just a guy that got drafted in 2 or 3 years to be out of the league.
You know, he's not that – you're a big, strong guy. Big Ben's big arm. I don't know where Mahomes generates his arm speed because when you're next to him, you know, he's not as big and burly and strong as you. That kid can throw 75 yards. Like Jamarcus Russell could throw it forever. He was 6'6".
Yeah.
Some guys.
Where's he? Alabama doing something.
Yeah.
How about the kid up in Buffalo? Troy Aikman told me he never seen anything like it.
Josh Allen?
Oh, unbelievable arm. And you know what? At the Super Bowl last year, we had, I'm on the sideline watching him warm up, and as the game went on, and I'm standing next to Jimmy, and I went, where's this cannon of an arm I've heard about? I didn't see it at all. I saw a nice arm. I didn't see a howitzer. You know, Allen's, it's, you hear it come by. You know, I didn't see it. Maybe he's got it. Listen, if you've got it, then that's something nobody else has. And you learn how to play under that. You don't fly your planes at full throttle. You back it off.
But big arm can be a burden.
It can get you in trouble.
Well, got Namath in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Did it, you know, I remember completions. But when you were young and you had a huge arm, were there times your coach was like, Noel was like, Terry, we got Franco and Rocky. And did you sometimes not understand the gift you had?
I think I knew my gift. And because I didn't understand coverages, I had a tendency to wait and see if he was open and then gun it.
You can do that in college.
Yeah. No, this is in the pros.
Right. Can't do it.
This is not in college. This is in the pros. As you learn defenses and study defenses and start understanding them, what formations dictate to defense and so on and so forth, you drop back, and you know from reading the coverage pre-read, and when you drop back, you know that number one receiver is not number one now. Number two is number one, and number one is number three, and number three is number two. And you learn that, and when you do that, now you have the anticipation comes, and you don't need the gun. The gun is – that's what I said earlier. You know, it's great to have all that power. But you keep it in reserve for when you need it. Other than that, strong arm quarterbacks have a tendency to wait a little longer to make sure they're not, you know, what they're seeing is real, and gives the defense a chance to catch up. Whereas a guy that has just an average arm, the kid in with the Los Angeles Rams, average arm, but he's good anticipating. There's a lot of guys like that. I think Burrow's at Cincinnati got a nice arm, not a cannon, really smart. Anticipates well. So guys with Tua, you'll see, has a very good arm, and he'll be smart. Doesn't have the cannon of it, but very good arm. So it's good to have the power, and you only use it when you really need it, like if you've got to throw it 65 or 70 yards, or if you've got a really gun that come open late at 18 or 20 yards.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to have it, you know, but you learn how to play without it.
Well, it's funny because for people listening, Terry was the first quarterback that I, as a kid, that was like big arm. And then there wasn't one for a while until Elway. Elway was the next one where people talked about Elway before he got to the pros. They're like, oh, this is a, everybody, no,
right.
I mean, it was just a bunch of guys that were like Kenny Anderson. 6'3", threw a nice ball. You were the first big arm guy that people, I mean, Stabler didn't have a big arm. Greasy didn't have a big arm.
No.
And
no.
Then it was Elway. And then we went along, and then I'm trying to think, Manning didn't have a big arm. Yeah, and then it was Favre. So it was you, Elway, Favre, and now I think it's Mahomes, or maybe it is Josh Allen.
Well, now let's go back to the Washington Redskins when they won, what's his name?
Rippon?
No, the black quarterback, Doug Williams.
Super Bowl. Yeah,
what'd you say?
Doug Williams.
Oh, Cannon.
By the way, threw the prettiest ball. I mean, just tight spiral. Kyler Murray, by the way, throws a football like that.
Yeah.
Hey,
listen, watch Kyler Murray, the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, and see if he doesn't remind you of Sonny Jurgensen with his release. He holds the ball really low and really winds up and throws it.
Yeah. Wildly entertaining.
Wildly entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoyable to watch. Fun.
Yeah.
For a guy that people who is too small. I had questions myself.
Oh, so did I.
As I did with the coach. But dang, I even said on the air one day, I said, I believe this coach is better for the pros than he is of college.
Terrell Davis was a better NFL running back than a college running back.
Exactly.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, we got to go. That's the most time I've given any
guest. 20 minutes?
Yeah, it's a long time
on the
show.
But I haven't even promoted all my products
yet. Just say something nice about the bourbon. Say something about the bourbon.
Bradshaw Bourbon is finally out on the West Coast, folks. It made it out here now. So go to your store and get it.
Bradshaw
Bourbon.
Doing
great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's great. Don't forget, I got Fat Boy Britches. It'll be out next year.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get you some of those.
Some Fat Boy Britches.
You don't need them. You're a skinny guy, but with Fat Boy Britches,
Goulet,
yeah, being a
what? Goulet over there could use.
Who?
Our producer.
Oh, I see him. Oh, yeah. You definitely need him.
Good seeing
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me on,
oh,
man.
Oh, I love.
Finally.
Thank you, so much. You bet.